Let's go to Luke chapter 2 this evening. Just read one verse here and use this as a starting place. Luke chapter 2. It's good to see a full house on Sunday night. Brother Dave Smith commented on that. He said all over the country, he travels a lot, says you'll go to a church like Blessed Hope and you'll see this great Sunday morning crowd, and then you'll come back and you'll see a mere pittance at Sunday night. And he said, boys, he said it looked as full on Sunday night as it did a Sunday morning. And I thought, boy, that ought to be normal. I mean, that ought to be the way it is everywhere. And it ought to be just as full on Wednesday night. Amen. And so let's stand, please. Good to see you here this evening. Hope you've had a great holiday season. I want to stop and just quickly thank the church, me, Cheryl, our family, for all the kindnesses, cards, cookies, and everything else that was given to us. I'm getting ready to make my New Year's resolution, and I'm going to lose the 10 pounds that I said I was going to lose last year and didn't, so I'm not going to add to it. I'm just going to try for that one last year, so, and we'll go on. Praise the Lord. Thank you for your kindness. We've had a great Christmas. I hope you have. Have you just had a good holiday time and a good time with your family and kind of a good break? And it's just, I don't know, I just walk around with a perpetual smile on my face when it gets to be this time of year. I just think there's so many wonderful things about the holidays. And of course, all of it centers around Jesus Christ. And I remember if it was David that was talking to me, and he said he was at the mall and stopped there at the little Cinnabon place. I found him there. I caught him there. He was, I don't know if you knew this, but he was eating one of them cinnamon rolls, drinking coffee. And he said, I got sitting there just eating and watching. And he said, you never seen so many angry, depressed people, stressed out people in all of your life. And I had about, I don't know how many people about ran over me in Terre Haute. I'm going, Merry Christmas, you know, and you know, and all the elbowing and pushing, and I hope I didn't hurt anybody, but but just you know, so many people this time of the year where God says, you know, announced that it ought to be a time of joy, and the world has turned it into a mess, and it's just kind of nice. To as a Christian, to sit back and really get it and really understand what this whole thing's about and just enjoy what's really important about this time of year. Now, let's read one verse and then we'll announce the message and we'll get into it tonight. I'm just going to have you look at verse 16. The Christmas story's been read, I'm sure, you personally here at the church. I'm sure families have read it together. So let's just read verse 16. And they, and it's talking about the shepherds, and they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And tonight I want to talk to you about this subject, preach to you for just a bit. On the man and woman beside the manger. The man and woman beside the manger. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for the Word of God. Lord, it's depth, it's richness. It's just an amazing, amazing book. It's a living book. It's your book. It's a transforming book. And Lord, it just doesn't matter how many times you read it, how long you've been saved. Every time we go into it, and we allow the Holy Spirit to tutor us, it's amazing how many wonderful things we'll be reminded of, how many new things we'll discover. And Lord, just for a few minutes, Lord, this is going to be, I guess, more of a teaching message than a preaching message, but Lord, with a great year behind us and unbelievable opportunities you've given before us, I pray, Lord, that you would help us to maybe take a couple of Bible heroes here and look at their lives. And Lord, maybe we can learn some lessons that would help us to better serve you and to be more of what you would have us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. And you may be seated. We're packing away the Christmas things. I left yesterday morning. The moment my wife mentioned we ought to take decorations down, I found somewhere I needed to be. and tried to figure out how long it would take, and I timed it pretty much just about right. She'd had it done and all the furniture rearranged and everything back in order by the time I was able to get back from all of my incredibly serious errands. And we're packing away Christmas things, and if you haven't done that yet, the tree will be coming down soon, and the lights will come down, and everything will be put back in the boxes and stored wherever you store that, and it'll be gone for another year. And the beautiful Christmas songs, that's been so enjoyable to sing in the last month. Again, they'll kind of be put away, and it'll be next December before in earnest we begin to turn to that section in our song. Well, although Brother Tom does every once in a while surprise us in the middle of July with a Christmas song, so and that's okay. Strangely enough, it's funny how Luke chapter 2 often is kind of also put away if we're not careful. Certain segments of the Bible, you know, are only for certain times of the year, and so we're not careful. We kind of do that with those portions also. But we are putting that away. We're getting ready to look at the new year and all the things before us. And I felt like tonight, right before we kind of push everything into a box and wrap up another Christmas season, that it would be good maybe to take one more glance at two characters in the Christmas story that are pivotal to the story. I'm kind of sorrowful, to be honest with you, that Mary and Joseph get the little attention that they get. We have had to be, as Baptist people, so on the defensive because of the attempt of the Catholic Church and other religions to deify the person of Mary. We've had to be sometimes so much on the attack and say so many things that just, and they're not, they need to be said. They have to be said. I was listening on TV the other day, and they were interviewing a Catholic nun, and she said, people say we pray to Mary, and that's not true. She said, we pray through Mary. She said, if you wanted to get a favor from someone, what better person to go to ask them than their mother? Well, then you're praying to her. The Bible says there's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And here we have this praying to Mary. We have the worship of Mary. We have the deification of Mary. And we have to sit there and knock this stuff down and knock this stuff down, knock this stuff down. And it's kind of sad in a way, because in some ways I feel like that we have had to attack one of the greatest Christian lady heroes of all of the Bible. And it's sad in a way that it seems like everything we ever say about her is a negative thing, trying to straighten out false doctrine. But you think about this young gal, and she is a remarkable person. In the book, The Teenage Years of Jesus Christ, I mentioned that one of the key things that Christ concentrated on in his teenage years was learning to find favor with God. And you know, Mary is one of the few people in the Bible where it is said of her that she found favor of God. And I'm, of course, going to just barely touch on it. Because of the time, we're not going to have time to get into it. But I encourage all of you young ladies, well, you ought to get your concordance, and you ought to study every place in the Bible it talks about. And every lady in here ought to. She ought to be on your Christian heroes list, because she's just a remarkable, remarkable person. Joseph, the same way. You know, very little said about Joseph. And Joseph is kind of looked over in Scripture. Most people believe that Joseph passed away and died when Jesus was yet a teenager. We know that, of course, he had died by the time Jesus had died on the cross, because he had to put John in charge of the care of Mary. So we know he wasn't there then. But here's what I was thinking. Brother Joe Asbury, and boy, I hope you've done this. You young couples really ought to take heed to what he taught us in that seminar. But one of the things, if you haven't done anything else, one of the things you ought to do, you ought to just make up your mind that you're going to do at the end of this year, the first this year, is get a will made out. This matter of the guardianship of your children, Listen, I'm just going to trust. And listen, you don't know God's will, and I don't know what God's will. The Bible says that Paul said that he asked God to glorify himself, whether it be by life or by death. And what if God chose to glorify himself in you and through you, through your death and not your life? Amen? And so we ought to be wise. But, you know, then that presents, Brother Joe, an unbelievable dilemma for a young couple. I mean, what a struggle to go home and say, if we're gone, who would we entrust our children to be reared by? And me and Cheryl, we time to time think about this. You know, if the right number of odd sequences happen at any given moment, you pray for us, because we could be parenting about 20 different children if everything goes wrong at the right moment, you know. And so I put a limit at 20. That's it, you know. And, you know, I could just see them all dying in one day, and all of a sudden here's this horde of kids at our doorstep. But that's an amazing. Now here's the point. God makes this choice. God makes this choice. And he's looking down and he says, I need a young couple that I want to use in a special. By the way, he's not going to put Jesus in your care, but I'm still convinced he's looking right now for young men and young women to use in an incredibly special, remarkable way. So many times, young men, and by the way, you young ladies, I want you to listen to me. You young men, I want you to listen to me tonight. A lot of you need to get a lot more serious than you are about living for God and serving God. You know, God right now is watching your life every single day and deciding what he can and can't do with you in the future. Every decision that you make, oh, it doesn't matter, I'm just 14, I'm just 13, I'm just 16. Every decision you make right now is telling God, you can trust me, Lord.
That's right.
That angel came down to Mary and says, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. To me, that's just awesome. What would God say if God sent an angel to you tonight as a young person, as a young lady or a young man, he sent an angel to give his opinion of your life. By the way, God sees past the facade. You see, I think that's awesome. I think that's convicting. And I think God today is just, I'll tell you what, Pastor, I believe God sometimes is frustrated. And I know there's a remnant out there. There's always the remnant. But I think God looks down at our young people today, I'm talking about young people all across America, young people that profess to be saved, profess to have Christ as their Savior. And you know what? What he found in Mary and Joseph, that's what we're going to spend a few minutes looking at tonight. What he found in Mary and Joseph, he's finding in fewer and fewer and fewer young men, fewer and fewer and fewer young ladies, and definitely fewer in young couples. So let's take a look at this, and let's learn some things from the man and the woman beside the manger. Wow, what a privilege to be chosen to put within your care the raising of the God-man. Amazing. Some things about this young couple that I want you to look at. Number one, Mary and Joseph, this young couple, were young people of moral integrity. Now I'm going to have you mark Luke chapter 2, and then I want you to go back to Matthew chapter number 1. If you'll mark those two places, we're going to flip back and forth between the two places where these two folks are the most discussed. And that will take care of most of what you have to find tonight in the Bible. Matthew chapter number 1. Now, young lady, listen to me. Young man, listen to me. Are you saved? Do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Well, let me tell you something. This matter of moral integrity, this matter of personal physical purity, is not a small, unimportant issue.
You're right.
Young person after young person after young person has sacrificed God's perfect will for their life. Never, I'm not saying they can never be used. I'm not saying they can't be forgiven. I'm saying that some things are gone. Because we had this flippant attitude concerning purity. Purity. Boy, it's a big issue. Matthew chapter number 1 and verse number 18. It says, Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. And while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying unto Joseph, Thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Notice this. Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. By the way, the virgin birth of Jesus Christ is one of the key foundational doctrines of the Bible. I mean, that's something we won't surrender. That's something we'll fight for. Well, let me ask you this. Will you fight for your own purity? I mean, it was important for Mary to be a virgin. Well, let me tell you something. It's important for you to be a virgin too. New or not, young man. And new or not. And I believe that young person after young person after young person, young couple after young couple after young couple is sacrificing all that God wanted to do with them and would do with them, because they bought into the biggest lie of the devil that is being hawked to this generation. That's this. It doesn't matter. It does matter. It does matter. God's looking for a young couple to use. God's looking for a young lady that he's going to place within her womb the God child. And listen, I'll tell you what he's looking for. He's looking for purity. Looking for a young man that would raise his son, the Christ child, and to be that father figure, that man figure in the home. He's looking for purity. I think God's still looking for purity. Oh, it doesn't matter, Pastor Jerry. I run around, sneak around with the boys. It doesn't matter if I let the boys hold my hand. It doesn't matter if I smooch and kiss with the boys. It doesn't matter if we go a little too far. Let me tell you something. It matters to God. And I'm afraid that young person after young person after young person has forever sacrificed God's perfect will for their life because they believe the devil's lie. This couple had moral integrity. You know, young people, this was a young couple that was espoused to be married. I mean, they were engaged. Well, I know we're going to be married anyway, so it don't matter. I know he's the one. I know she's the one, so it don't matter. That is a lie of the devil. Well, we're engaged, so it doesn't matter. Well, we're going to live together for a while and then see how things work out, and then we'll get married. It doesn't matter. It does matter. It does matter. Isn't it crazy we have to take time to say these things? Good night. Some of you older, dear older folks are sitting there saying, you know what, 50 years ago, everybody knew this. We wouldn't have had to say these things. But we've gotten into society, folks, where not only is it practiced, it's become accepted, not just accepted by the world, but accepted by the church.
Yes, sir, you're right.
Boy, we need to get a group of young people. Listen, I like Joseph. You know what? Joseph was a young man. Joseph was a young man like any other young man. But you know what? He knew what it was to practice moral restraint. I mean, he took her to wife even. But because the Lord said not to, it says he knew her not. As his wife, he knew her not until she... You know what? We got a bunch of, I just can't control. Baloney. Baloney. You know why you can't help it? Because you're looking at the wrong things on the computer. You know why you can't help it? Because you've talked to yourself. By the way, boy, we need to get a revival in this area. Listen, stop making excuses for watching the filthy Hollywood movies. Oh, well, this scene's not that bad. This scene's not, oh, well, you know, hey, baloney. We're sending a message to our young people. It's no big deal. Say, well, we got this movie, and there's nothing wrong with it. I mean, it doesn't show anything. Let me tell you what the typical movie is, these modern-day romance movies. They always involve physical affair before marriage, and yet at the end, they live happily ever after. Well, that's real easy to do in a two-hour Hollywood movie where everybody's reading memorized lines and making all the facial expressions that they're doing on cue, and you know, you can wrap that thing up and it just looks so, and you know what, movie after movie after movie after movie after movie after movie, our young people sitting there watching, and young people, a handsome Hollywood man and a handsome Hollywood woman, and they have an illicit affair, and guess what, it just comes out so great in the end, and wow, see, it doesn't matter. Well, that's not what God says. That's what God says. I'll tell you something. I look at this young lady, and I think God looked down, and he said, there's a young lady. Listen, all the other girls. Maybe the other girls are sneaking around behind mom and dad's back, but there's a pure girl. Maybe that girl's, the other girls are holding hands, but that's a pure girl. The other girls don't matter. Don't say it's no big deal, but that's a pure girl. I think God's looking for some young ladies. I'm talking about young ladies at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I'm talking about young ladies at Blessed Hope Baptist School. Says, you know what? Purity's important. If a young man says that he has to have some kind of a physical relationship on any level in order to keep, for me to keep his interest, buddy, hit the road! I'm more important than that. I'm more important than that. Now, I'm talking to young ladies right now in this church right now. Some of you right now, if we could fast forward your life 5-6 years from now, it's going to be a mess. It's going to be a heartbreak. You're going to be left with some baby somewhere in some motel trying to figure out how you're going to pay the bills while some hound dog's gotten you pregnant and then run off and left you and promised you everything. And he lied. And you know what? If you just decide tonight, I'm going to be pure. I don't care if I don't have a boyfriend. I don't care if I'm the only one in the school don't have a boyfriend. I'm going to be pure. Boy, I'd like to find a group of young men once again. Boy, we need a revival of old-fashioned manhood.
Yes, sir.
Treat these young ladies. The Bible says, treat the younger women as sisters with all purity.
That's right.
Amen. Amen. It's suggestive talk. What in the world? What in the world? They're your sisters in Christ. They're somebody's little girl. Uh-huh. You know, one of these days, some young man's going to mess with this wrong young lady around here. And some daddy's going to clean some kid's clock out here. And you know what? If you're the parent of that young man, you ought to be on the other end of him, kicking the other side of him while the other dad's doing the business on the other end of him. So aren't you for forgiveness? Yeah, after I get done. Folks, there's only one way to learn the fear of the Lord. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Amen. I'm just telling you something. Well, that's the way. They're just going to do it now. That is a lie of the devil. I'm telling you, that's the biggest lie of Satan. There's a whole remnant of young people that have made vows of purity at a holy altar somewhere at some church camp or some youth conference or in their local New Testament church. And you know what? They put their face like a flint. I'm going to walk down the marriage altar pure and clean. I'm going to hold off all aspects of a physical relationship and say that for my husband or my wife one of these days. And you know what? I'm not compromising! Boy, my admiration for those type of young people just soars in this day and age. Yeah, but so-and-so said, and so, listen, you go ahead and let them say whatever they want to. Check them out in 10 years. See where they're at. Amen. Amen. Young ladies, listen to me. You young ladies coming on the buses. Listen, we didn't bring you in here to play the dating game. We don't bring you to church so you can spend all your time running around chasing guys. Young men, we didn't bring you to church so you can sit around flirting with the girls. What you need to do is chase God. This is the place to learn to get close to God. And if you'll get close to God, God in his time will bring a decent gal for you, a decent guy for you. But you know what? If you want to do an end run on God and use his house. There's no reason, bus kids. None of this. If you young ladies were coming on a bus, you young guys coming on a bus, you don't need to be sitting together. You need to be up here as close to the front as you can, listening to the word of God, learning so that you can one of these days have a good marriage. I'm helping you tonight. I'm helping you. They say, well, I've never heard anything like this. This is all new to me. Well, that's why I'm telling you, because listen, the devil's a liar. I mean, look at the other kids in your neighborhood. Look at your older brothers and sisters. Look at other people that's done it the other way. Their lives aren't any good. Oh, but you're going to be the exception. You're not going to be the exception. This is point one. We got five. We're in trouble. Just go another 15 minutes. Give the invitation. Amen. This is good. Well, we need this. Folks, listen to me. I'm going to tell you something. I look at this as a young couple. I see Joseph and I see Mary. And I see them come together. And I see them have the Christ child. And by the way, the Catholic Church don't want to admit this, but Mary had a lot of other children besides Jesus. And I can imagine the blessed life that they lived. And you know why God blessed them in the way he did? Because they decided that moral purity, moral integrity was important. And it's important if you're single. It's important if you're married. It's important if you're engaged. You stay pure. You stay pure. You stay with the one God's given you if you're married. Amen. All right, number two. One of the other things I notice about this, you look at this couple, and boy, I tell you what, so many things. But let's go back to Luke chapter 2. This was a young couple of meticulous obedience. Meticulous and instant obedience to God. Pastor, what does God want from me? You know what he wants? Can I just sum it up? He just wants you to be obedient. He said, I'd rather have obedience than sacrifice. God just wants you to learn to be obedient. I just want you to learn when I tell you something just to do it. You know why some of you have such a hard time around here? Because all through your life, you haven't learned to be obedient. Every time your mom and dad tell you to do something, you fuss with them. Guess what? When you hear something from the preaching of God's word, and you hear something from God's word, you know what you want to do? You want to fuss with it. You don't want to think you don't have to. Listen, Mary and Joseph, I love this. Look at this. Chapter 2, verse 1. It came to pass in those days there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee. You see, Joseph was a person that not only was obedient to God, but he obeyed the laws of the land. Don't tell me how obedient to the laws of God you are if you won't obey the laws of government. You won't obey the laws of the land. You know what? They said it's time to be taxed. He didn't cause an insurrection. Did he like paying the taxes? I don't know. Do you? Did he enjoy the thought of having to take a pregnant wife and try to travel that distance? No, but you know what? That's the decree. Those are the ones in charge. And you know what, Mary? As hard as it's going to be, we're going to be good citizens. We're going to be obedient to the laws of the land. Amen. Amen. Not only that, because of that, which you see reflected also, Luke chapter number 1, verse number 26. And in the sixth month, the angel of Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at the saying, cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and shalt bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. Now, for sake of time, let's jump down to verse number 38. And Mary said, let me tell you something. This is remarkable. There's not one young lady in this room that shouldn't have this verse underlined. Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord. Be it unto me according to thy what? So God, if you say it, I'm for it. If this is what you want me to do, I'll do it. If this is your will, I'll surrender to it. If this is what you want from me, I'll be submissive to it. I'm just your servant. I'm just your handmaid. I'm here to serve you. God, you're not here to serve me. I'm here to serve you. And if you want me to do something, just tell me and I'll do it. What is your word? Well, then I'll do it. What do you want? Then let's accomplish it. Did Mary know that this was going to cause folks to misjudge her? Didn't she know that this would unleash a torrent of hurtful gossip against her and her family? She understood that most men would never understand. She understood the risk of even her relationship with Joseph. She could have said, wait a minute, God, not me. Listen, I'm engaged. I've got this thing worked out. I've got my life planned. Lord, you're not going to do this to me. What if Joseph doesn't understand? What if my parents don't understand? No, Lord, I'm your handmaid. I mean, what's your word? Is that your word, Lord? Then let's see that it's accomplished. And I see a young angel departed. He went and he just obeyed. He just obeyed. Oh, we're a stubborn lot. No, we are. Us human beings that claim to be born again Christian are such a stubborn-headed lot. No, I know what the Bible says, but. There is no place for the word but after that statement. You know what the Bible says? Do it. I mean, what is it with us? Young people, listen to me. I'm telling you this. I'm trying to help you. I'm talking about all the way from the littlest child all the way to that teenager that has already convinced themselves they're an adult and they don't have to listen to anybody. I'm telling you that your entire future is resting on your ability and your willingness to be obedient. And if you won't obey your parents, one of these days you won't obey God. You want to fight and fuss with every authority figure that God puts in your life. Let me tell you something. God's going to, when he's looking for somebody, he's looking for that young couple to put his hand on, to empower, to use in some remarkable way. He's going to say, I'm not going to spend my life fussing with them over it. Find somebody I can use. Amen. Meticulous obedience. You young couple, let me just say this real quick. You absolutely must train within your children the willingness to obey immediately and cheerfully. We've glorified rebellion. Oh, yes, we have. We've glorified it. Well, you know, kids have to have a little. Hello? There's a book you ought to read this year. I'm telling you what, we've raised a bunch of kids that young people that have grown up telling mom and dad no, and you know what they're going to do? They're going to tell God no. They're going to tell God no. And number three, I like this point. I like this. Go to Matthew chapter 1. Like I said, we'll just flip back and forth in between these. I'm just going to touch on this real quick, but I think this is such an important point. Probably worthy of a message within itself. Matthew chapter 1. I like Joseph and Mary because they were a young couple of spiritual meditations. Let me give you young couples, you young men, something that I think will help you so much. Matthew chapter number 1, verse number 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ is on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. And Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. And by the way, we're not going to talk about that, but you just in that verse, you saw perfect balance in manhood. He was just and he was righteous. He was going to do the right thing. And he knew or suspected what had happened was wrong. But he was also, with that justice, merciful. You know, he could have taken Mary before, taken him to the city gate and before the elders of the town and had her stoned to death. But he said, you know what? The just thing is for me is for us not to get married because she's found with child before we came together. But you know what? The merciful thing for me to do is to put her away privily and do the best I can to save her and her family as much embarrassment as possible. But he was going to put her away. He was going to break the espousement. And he had every legal right to do so. But I like that. You know, I'm going to tell you something. Dads, men, listen to me. If you can learn the balance between just and right and righteousness and mercy. By the way, he was merciful within the boundaries of what is just. Mercy is not ignoring righteousness or embracing unrighteousness. See, some people think merciful would be, oh, well, you know, everybody makes mistakes. I'll just go ahead and marry her. No. He was just. But within that justice, he went to the farthest place he could come and exercise all the mercy he could without leaving the area of what is just and right. Amen. Boy, that's good. But I want to give you verse 20, just a little statement. But while he thought on these things. Young men, let's just talk for a minute. Girls, ladies, don't listen, okay? We make a lot of dumb decisions because we don't do what he did in verse 20. Now put yourself in Joseph's place for a minute. You don't think he wanted to act? You don't think he wanted to do something about the situation? Do you know what he did? He was a man of spiritual meditations. This wasn't just a matter of going and thinking. And the reason I know this is because God began to communicate with him while he was meditating. And I think he just went somewhere and got quiet and said, God, I've got to think this thing through. I want to make sure I'm doing the right thing. Lord, this is big. Well, I'm going to tell you something. In 2004, you can save yourself a bunch of dumb decisions if you would not just act on impulse. If you just say, you know, folks, listen to me. Oh, but I got to make this decision. That's a bunch of baloney. Most decisions, whether it's made Monday or Friday of that week, there's not going to be a whole lot of difference. And you know what I've decided? If it's that much of a difference, then I'm going to say no. Because if I don't have time to pray about it and think about it, then the answer is no. Wasn't that good? Now let me have you go back to Luke chapter 2 for a minute. And it just wasn't Joseph. Luke chapter 2, verse number 19. Boy, of course, I keep saying this to the young ladies. If I was a lady, I think I'd have every verse in the Bible that mentioned Mary underlined. There's something written beside it. Notice verse number 19, Luke 2:19. But Mary kept all these things and what? Pondered them in her heart. Now you show me a young couple that understand and value the importance. Boy, we could go to Psalms chapter 1. We could chase this thing through the book of Psalms, but I think a lot of our mistakes, one of the areas where, well, I've got to make the decision now. I'm busy. I can't get time to think about it. You need to take time to think about it. We've lost our thinking time. We've lost our pondering time. The world's just screaming at us all the time. I need you now, 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 do it now, now, do it now, now, do it, do it. Tell you what, I'll be back. I'm going to take a couple days. I'm going to find a quiet place. I'm going to get alone with God. Is that valuable information? Have you found that that's true in life? Can all of us get up and testify and say, boy, there was a time I made a decision. If I would have taken a day or two to just get alone with God and think it through and let God speak to my heart, I would not have done that. And boy, would I have saved me and my wife, our family, a bunch of heartache or a bunch of difficulties. Ladies, let's turn the box off. Oprah don't have anything to say. Yeah, turn the box off. Dr. Phil is mixed up, all right? If we'd take that hour and plug into God instead of Dr. Phil, I suppose we might come out with a little more wisdom. Well, we need our quiet time. Some of you with little children are saying, what's that? I can't even get... have 10 minutes in the bathroom by myself. Now some little kid got his mouth in the crack going, Mommy! Just give me 10 minutes. Man, there's a wonderful spiritual thing called a nap. You know, just have them take it till they're 16 every day. They come home, go to bed. Why? I don't need a nap. We need you to have a nap. We need our pondering time. Let me talk to you about them a little bit individually. Well, this is powerful. We'll cover this quick. Mary and Joseph were a young couple who both understood and accepted their roles in marriage. Well, I like this so much. I think that one of the reasons God has to look over some Christian young couples and not ever really use them to the capacity he wants to is because there's a husband, either a husband that won't accept his role in the marriage or a wife that won't accept her role in the marriage. And you know what? All their life is worried, is in total conflict over just the unwillingness to accept what God's asked you to do. Can I go back to verse number 16, chapter 2, since we're there? You know what I like? Did this occur to any of you when I read the verse? This is crazy. You know, we're in the 21st century. We are in a mess. If this was the 21st century edition, it would said, and they came with haste and found Mary in the hospital alone, but no dad could be found anywhere in sight. You know what I appreciate about Joseph? He was there. He was there. You know why some of these, you know, I've kind of come down hard on some of these kids, and some of these kids come on the bus. I love them, and they know I love them. And you know what? They got a hard way up. I'm talking about Mary and Joseph, kind of parents that they were. And you know what? There's kids in this room right now whose hearts break and thinking, if I had a godly mother, if I had a godly father, I'd give everything in the world to have a godly mother and a godly father. I mean, I hurt for them. I mean, I hurt for them. But you know what? Joseph was there. He was there. Amen. Not only was he there, but he didn't start a family without being ready to provide for it. Let me tell you how he provided for it. We'll just touch on these. Number one, he provided for it. He was able to provide for it because he'd mastered a wage-earning skill. Matthew 13:55. Is this not the carpenter's son? So many young couples want to run out and get married. You know what? Young man, you don't have a clue how you're going to support. I can't wait till they come in my house and ask. I've got my speech plan, brother. Brother Hodge, are you working on it? You got your speech planned? Amen. I don't care how many times he's read the Bible through. I want to see his checkbook. I want to see his job resume. Son, you know, I'm going to give you my daughter, you know. And yeah. Settle down, son, huh? I know you're 20 and you're ready for this. You're 21 and yeah, oh yeah. And have you held a job? No. Well, played basketball. Yeah, pretty good. There's a bunch of lazy loafers out there. They're looking for some gal that they can marry who'll go out and get a job and support them. No, I'm telling you the truth. I'm telling you the truth. There's a bunch of guys out there looking for a woman to support them. No, I'm not lying to you. I hear this time and time and time and time again out there. You know, I mean, it's ridiculous. Your role in marriage, gentlemen, is to be the provider for your family. And he was ready to do that because he'd taken his teenage years and actually learned some things and properly prepared himself so that he could start a home and provide for his family. Amen. Not only that, I want to show you something I just think is neat. Look at Matthew chapter number 2, verse number 11. He was a provider, he was the protector. He was ready and able to provide because, first of all, he'd mastered a wage-earning skill. I think Joseph had a little nest egg. I think he'd worked. I think he'd saved a little bit. I think he had a place for him. Listen, they weren't going to live high on the hog. But you know what? That's not important. He knew You know, well, I keep praying. I keep asking God to provide our needs. He provided your needs, dummy. He gave you a strong back and strong arms and good health. That's how he provides your needs. Now go out there and use it. And he also was able to provide for his family because he was wise with what God did provide with him. I want to show you this. I don't know if you ever thought about this. But look in verse number 13, talking about the wise men. And when they were coming to the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him what? Yeah, and what were they? Gold, frankincense, and myrrh, which, by the way, are all very, very valuable gifts. And so Joseph, the next verse says, and Joseph said, hot dog, let's go buy a convertible. Woo, new guns. I'm sorry. I went to meddling there a little bit. That should be in the Bible. Amen. Them things are necessities. Huh? Let me show you what happened in the next two verses. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying what? Arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. Now, all of a sudden, in the middle of the night, he's awakened. You get married, you get that baby, and you get out of here, and you go to a foreign country where he knew, didn't know anyone, where he had no connections, where he had, if he was going to get a job, let me promise you, the Egyptians were not hiring the Israelites, putting them in the best paying job. He was going to go there and he was going to work for nothing if he could even get a job. But you know what? God already took care of it. He brought wise men and he said, here's something. You know, men, if we'd understand this, when every once in a while when God gives us a little extra, there's probably a reason for it. Don't run out and blow it. Well, boy, we didn't expect this. Wow, what can we? Why don't you just say, we didn't expect this, so let's just act like we didn't get it. Until we look around and pray and find out what God wants us to do with it. See if there's an opportunity or there's some need. I'm going to tell you something. A lot of times, young couples get frustrated. Well, God's just not providing our needs. Yes, he did. He provided your needs a number of times, and you keep blowing it. He's given you extra in advance, but you blow it so that when you have the needs, you don't have it, and you want to blame God for that you don't have it. He provided your needs. Well, that's good stuff, isn't it? And Joseph said, I'll be the provider, I'll be the protector. Ladies, let me say this. The Lord came and told Joseph in a dream, you get Mary and you get that child and you get out of here. And he woke Mary and the child up and said, we got to go. And you know, well, God never told me. He's not supposed to have to tell you. That's the protector.
That's it.
That's the head of the home.
That's right.
See, Mary also accepted her role. And the Bible goes on to say, and Mary said, what? In the middle of the night? Listen, I am not. But God told you, go talk to God again. By the way, you may think that's a bit funny, but I'm going to tell you, that goes on all the time. You know what submissiveness is? You understand it? Understand the concept of submissiveness? By the way, gentlemen, you better handle this, what God's given you, very sacredly, very prayerfully, and very carefully. It's not a matter of walking around being the boss. But I'm going to tell you something. I'm convinced there's young men all over America that cannot fulfill the will of God because their wives want to fuss and argue with them every time they try to take a step out on faith. There's some wives saying,
Yeah, absolutely.
I ain't going there. I ain't living like that. I ain't doing that. Mary, we got to go to Bethlehem. Why? Well, they got a decree from Caesar that all the world should be taxed. I'm not leaving. Can't you see I'm pregnant? Come on, Mary. Come on, we got to go. I don't think this is right. Mary, get on the donkey. That's another thing. If you'd work harder, we could have a better donkey. You know what I see? I see the handmaid of the Lord. I see this sweet submissiveness. I see this young lady that saved herself and waited and found the man that God had for her and then said, you know what? God gave me this man and I'm going to listen to him and I'm going to love him. I'm going to support him. I'm going to get behind him. And whatever God tells him to do, and wherever God tells him to go, you know what? I'm in on it. I'm with him. I'm there. And I could go through the whole Christmas story and have fun like that. The honest truth is, time and time and time again, Joseph made a decision. God gave him direction, and Mary just said, let's go on. I don't care if it's hard, let's go. I don't care if it's inconvenient, let's go. I don't care if it's uncomfortable, let's go. I don't care if it doesn't even make sense. If this is what God's told you to go, let's go. I'm going to tell you something. Blessed is the man in this day and age that has a wife that's willing to do that and be that. Blessed is that man. Amen. Mary was a noble mother. You know, Mary's called mother, the title mother, Jesus' mother, the mother of the child in Matthew 1:18 and Matthew 2:11 and Matthew 2:13 and Matthew 2:14 and Matthew 2:20, Matthew 2:21, Luke chapter 2, verse 33, Luke chapter 2, verse 34, Luke chapter 2, verse 43, 48, and 51, over and over and over and over again. You know what her title became when she had the child? Mother, 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 mother. You know why? Because God thinks it's important being a mother. See, I'm going to find someone to raise Jesus. I think I'm going to find somebody that thinks that children are important. That children aren't a part-time side job, but it's the purpose, one of the main purposes of their existence, is to be there for their children, to be a mother. Mary is a noble mother, a submissive and godly wife. Now you look at this young man and young woman. God greatly rewarded this young couple. Not just by giving them Christ, but by allowing them to be penned in the pages of God's holy word. You say, well, Joseph didn't look like he had much of a life to me. Here he went and run to Egypt and tried to survive there and came back. And even when they brought the offerings, instead of bringing the offerings that rich people brought, he brought the offerings. I mean, they didn't have much in life, and he died early. And listen to me, folks. Listen to me. There's nothing more important than doing God's will. It's not about how much you have. It's about what you are. It's about what you are. The man and the woman that stood beside the manger, I think, two worthy Bible heroes. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you'd help us. Within the pages of your word, Lord, we find simplicity. We really do. The world wants to complicate it. The world wants to take it, turn it upside down. The world wants to do all these crazy things. But if we'll just go to the Bible and say, what does the Word of God teach us? How about those people that in the Bible that found favor with God, were used in an unusual way? What kind of people were they? A lot of times, Lord, we don't see a lot of flash. We don't see all the things in their life that somehow we've become convinced is so important. We just see the simple doctrines and characteristic traits and attributes of godliness, purity, obedience, contentment, submissiveness. Lord, I pray, dear God, I think there's not a child in this room that don't deserve to have godly parents, have their priorities straight, priorities right. Help us, Lord, as we've looked at the Scripture tonight to examine our own lives. Search me, O Lord, know my heart, try me, know my thoughts, see if there be any wicked way in me. Lord, if there's just an area we can improve in, an area we can need to go back and rededicate in some areas, Lord, these children around here are sure worth it. Pray that you'd bless the invitation. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.